Thucydides tells us, and Plutarch seconds him because he bases his account on the Thucydidean narrative, that Alcibiades at this point was in exile in Sparta, that he had done everything to gain the Spartan trust. He had good friends, especially the ephor of 412 BC. One of the ephors, Endius, was a guest friend. Alcibiades was proxenus to the Spartans. He certainly did know the family of King Agis II quite well, as we'll discover. And all of these connections meant that Alcibiades was allowed to speak to the Spartan assembly. And Thucydides records a speech, which I'm sure he got from Alcibiades years later, when Alcibiades was in exile in his castle overlooking the Hellespont, telling Thucydides how he had essentially masterminded everything since 420 BC. And Thucydides does try to take some account of the fact he's getting information from Alcibiades. But in the speech, Alcibiades is essentially presented as the architect of Spartan victory. He not only justifies his own reasons for coming to Sparta as an exile, but he also tells that the Spartans should declare war. And above all, he tells the Spartans that they should fortify the position of Decaleia in Attica, a fortress, and blockade Athens and keep the city under siege all year round. In the Archidamian War, Peloponnesian forces entered Attica and ravaged Attica only during the summer seasons. And the longest they ever stayed there was 80 days. Alcibiades now urges what is in effect a siege of the city year-round. And this indeed is what the Peloponnesians do. King Agis II does fortify Decaleia later in the year and carries out what in effect is a blockade. And Athens is under siege essentially for the next 10 years. They cannot use many of the regions of Attica because there are Peloponnesian forces everywhere. Well, probably the Spartans didn't need to be told that. And furthermore, the appeals of the Salentines, the people of Salinas, and the Syracusans were probably far more telling in convincing the Spartans to declare war in 414 BC. And at that point, many in the Spartan assembly were probably fed up with the Athenians. This was not going to be easy for the Spartans. They still had dissident allies in the Peloponnesus. Argos was still a potential threat. It was really pretty problematic whether the Persians were going to give any kind of aid to the Spartans in this situation. And in 414 and 413 BC, the Spartans really could do very little except ravage Attica. And the Athenians, in the meantime, launched a whole new expedition to Sicily under Demosthenes and Eurymedon. So the thoughts that an attack on Attica would actually help Syracuse really were not true. The Athenians had the resources to commit a second army to Sicily. And the Athenians fought very aggressively to defend Attica, and the fighting was really quite complicated. And the Athenians repeatedly engaged the Peloponnesians. They had excellent cavalry. And so for the first two campaigning seasons of the Decaleian War, it was by no means certain that the Spartans could do much. And they really had taken on this war because they felt that their fellow Dorians in Sicily were being attacked, that oaths had been violated. And they went into this war without any sense that the Persians were ever going to bankroll them to victory. Well, that changed at the end of 413 BC in the autumn and winter when the news got back of the Sicilian disaster. And it really wasn't until the spring of 412 BC when the magnitude of the destruction of the Athenian forces really set into everyone in the Aegean. And the situation had suddenly and dramatically changed, and many Spartans would have read that as the favor of the gods. Kairos, that opportune moment. That this time the Spartans had acted properly. There hadn't been any earthquakes or other intervening problems. And I think they now went into this war in 412 BC quite resolved that they were truly going to win freedom of the Greeks. Athens had lost so many veteran generals, helmsmen, enormous number of ships. Really, the Athenian problem was twofold. That was money and manpower. The Athenians were now running short on money. They only had the 1,000 talents they had set aside at the beginning of the war. They start melting down sacred objects, gold and silver, issuing them as money. They had 100 triremes in reserve. They had lots of ships on hand. The problem was finding experienced crews to row them and finding the money to pay them. And this would be a problem that would dog the Athenians throughout the war. And they came up with some pretty creative fiscal measures. They imposed more direct war taxes, the eis phora. They abolished the tribute and went over to an ad valorem tax on goods, which actually netted more money than the tribute, and really didn't even have to control the cities if you could collect the various tolls and customs and duties on goods. They also took certain measures to check the extreme